Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. This morning we're going to look at the Federal Reserve, some of its recent actions, and what the Fed may do when the Federal Open Market Committee meets tomorrow, and what the role of the Fed may have been in the current credit crisis. We have on the line with us Dr. Ken Cyrie. He holds the Frank R. Day Mississippi Bankers Association Chair of Banking and is Associate Professor at the University of Mississippi. He's also a faculty member at the Graduate School of Banking at LSU. And Ken, I'm really glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you, Dave. I'm happy to be here. I appreciate you letting me come on the program.
It's my pleasure. And we also have on the line with us this morning Mike Barker, who, of course, is a regular on this program. Mike's with Investment and Retirement Management. He's a Chartered Retirement Planning Counselor. He's a Certified Fund Specialist offering securities through Linsco Private Ledger, a member of NASD and SIPC. And Mike, good morning to you as well.
Dave, good morning. Ken, how are you?
Doing great, Mike. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, you too. Dave, Ken, and I go way back to maybe third or fourth grade.
I have a lot of stories we could tell on Mike. But
yeah, well, you get started, buddy, and I'll be back at you.
That's true. I probably
so
don't want to play
choice.
Well, that is way back. That is way back, I have to say that.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to get that conversation started.
No, no. Nothing bad ever happened, and our wives don't know anything either.
That's exactly right.
Okay, well, my lips are sealed. Now, among other things, Ken, I know that you're an expert in the banking system. You have a special interest in the Federal Reserve. And, Ken, as you're aware, we have Mike on this program just about every week, and his interest is focused on Wall Street. Talk a little bit, if you would, about your background and what the focus of your interest is.
Well, I would agree that my academic interests are largely on the banking system, and really more directly the Fed side of that is interest rates. So I spend a good bit of my time trying to look at interest rates, where they're moving, why they're moving, what they're doing, how they affect the economy, things like that. Not to say I don't pay attention to the stock market, too. Both personally and professionally, I do that as well. Clearly, Mike will have more information on day-to-day things going on in the market, and certainly will have a better feel for the pulse of the market than I would. But I probably tend to look more towards bigger trends and moves like that. So I guess from that perspective, I probably have a little bit different take on things simply because I'm not right there in the moment as much as he is. I have to go do other things, and he will clearly know what's going on minute by minute much better than I will, but hopefully I can provide a little perspective.
I bet it's interesting to see the way you two guys interact with each other.
It is. We have a good time, and, you know, certainly I think about things probably differently than he does, and that's a good thing that we both look at things, and oddly enough, we agree probably most of the time. So that's, you know, I probably help him in that he can think that, yes, I probably understand this properly, and I learn from him what's going on in the market because I don't pay as much attention to that as he does, certainly. So that's it's probably a great relationship as far as that goes. And there's a lot of history there, too. We've been good friends a long time, so it's kind of a neat thing to be able to do now that we're a little bit older.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you about Ben Bernanke, the new Fed chairman. As I knew on the job, relatively new anyway, yes. How do you gauge his performance? Is this post-Greenspan Fed a new Fed?
I think it is in one respect. I think Bernanke has learned a couple of things since he began, and probably the number one thing he's learned is why Alan Greenspan used to give speeches and no one knew what he was talking about. You know, it seems that every time Bernanke comes out and says something, there's lots of Monday morning quarterbacking and things of that nature. So he's frankly probably been a little bit too open. That's probably the bad side of Bernanke, and I think he'll get that squared away pretty quickly. The similar to Greenspan side and what I would call the good side is that he's a very accomplished economist. He's a brilliant man, and he understands the game probably as well as anyone other than Greenspan. So I think he will be a very effective chairman. He's already been pretty good, I think. I would say he's made a few missteps, but that's to be expected when you first start a new job.
Didn't he say at the front end that he wanted to be more open? And I'm wondering if that's something maybe he's giving a second thought to.
I think he did say that. I think he should be giving that a second thought. There's a reason that Greenspan tried to cover his tracks well, and that was because you need the ability to adapt quickly. And if you come out and say, for example, as he did about a month ago, that, you know, the Fed would still fight inflation, and that was a primary concern. And then, you know, a few minutes later, it seemed that they came out and lowered the discount rate 50 basis points. So, and there were a lot of folks that professor, for example, called that a rookie mistake, which may be a little harsh, but certainly you probably would not have seen Greenspan make that mistake. And a lot of that is because Bernanke's trying to be open, and I think he's learning some valuable lessons, and he may not be as open in the future.
Yeah, well, Dave, I was following along with what Ken just said and talking about the different perspective between the two of us, and we occasionally will not agree on certain things, but generally speaking, we do. What he's talking about now is a good example of not only for me, but for investors as well, to get certain perspectives from people coming from a different world, so to speak. And what I'm getting at there specifically is when Bernanke first started this job, Ken was one of the first guys I called and said, you know, I started studying the stock market deeply back in 87 when I was in college. And as Ken knows, and a lot of people probably know, that was when Alan Greenspan started at the Fed. And his first major crisis was the crash of 87. So, and Ken brought this up to me one day, and I had really never thought about it, believe it or not. I made a comment about the Fed this, the Fed that, they always do this, they always do that. And Ken said, now be careful there, because the only one you know is Greenspan. And that's when it hit me that my entire time being deeply in the markets, as well as in the business of investing and managing money, the only Fed chairman I've ever known is Alan Greenspan. And when Bernanke started the position, one of the things that Ken pointed out to me that I need to get used to quickly was this openness thing, and that Bernanke would probably be much more open than Greenspan, as well as some other things we may get into later in the conversation this morning. But that's a good example of something I didn't know going in, that someone like Ken can give you perspective ahead of time. So that's a good thing, of course, too, for investors to know. And we've seen that.
I see. So then, Ken, do you imagine 6-8 months from now we're going to be hearing Mr. Bernanke with some kind of cryptic remark, sort of a la Alan Greenspan?
Well, I know if I were him, I would certainly be doing that. I don't think he'll be as close as Greenspan. I will say that, just because he's a different personality. But I do think he would be more veiled and careful in his speech because of what's happened over the last, in this, at least, for now I'm going to call it a mini-crisis. I hope it doesn't get worse. But this is the first real test we've had of Bernanke, and I would say at the moment he's handled it pretty well. If he does what I think he'll do, and that's lower the target Fed funds rate, when the Fed meets tomorrow, I do think that we can say that he's probably done pretty well in his first test.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that first test was what, when he lowered the discount rate by some, 50 basis points?
Yes.
Talk about his rationale in doing that move. I mean, why didn't he just lower the funds rate?
Well, historically, the Fed does not like to lower the target Fed funds rate until a meeting date. It's viewed as a sign of not really desperation, but certainly out of the ordinary, if they, between meeting dates, lower the target Fed funds rate. The same would be true of the discount rate, but the discount rate was very high and much higher than the Fed funds rate. So the lowering of that really was just to signal to markets that the Federal Reserve would provide liquidity, and they recognized that there was a problem, and also I think to show the markets that money would be flowing into those credit markets that were under pressure at that moment.
That's another good example, Dave, of what we're talking about here. I called Ken that day and asked him, you know, I said, now, why is he doing this? Why this and not the Fed funds rate, and what will this do and all of that? And Ken, I don't know if you want to comment on this as well, but I mentioned to Ken that morning, I said, this is just symbolic. This is just psychological. He isn't really doing a whole lot. Just kind of talk about your thoughts when I make that kind of statement.
No, I would agree with that. The discount rate is not a very important rate except for the signaling power of the rate. Now, that said, actually, to me, a much more important event was right around that time. It might have been a week before or a week after that the Federal Reserve went in and dropped about $40 billion in repos on the market.
Right,
that was
right.
A much more important event from the perspective of liquidity, and the discount rate move just followed from that and was a signal saying we're very serious about meeting this crisis and providing liquidity so that rates don't rise. Because if the Fed did nothing, we would have seen a spike in interest rates likely as those markets tightened. So the actual lowering itself is more of a signal than anything. And to be fair, there was a lot more borrowing at the discount window by banks than normal. And in general, the Fed discourages borrowing at the discount window. But what happened over that period was a lot of banks were truly in a crisis with respect to a lot of lines of credit being drawn down by firms like Countrywide, who went in and grabbed as much as they could when the crisis hit. So there was some meat to that decision, but at the same time, that is normally very much a psychological and signaling mechanism.
Yeah, and of course, and I think, Dave, I think Ken will agree with this, psychological type things are also very important,
yes,
at least in the short term.
Yes, they are.
I don't mean to minimize that, because as everyone knows, in the short term, a lot of times, the only thing driving the markets and the certain types of business decisions is somewhat of a psychological type issue. So that is an important aspect, even if it's not necessarily perceived to be all that important in the longer term. Ken, by the way, do you have any perception, and of course, you just mentioned what you thought the Fed would do tomorrow when they meet. Do you have any perception as to whether you think Bernanke is trying to do everything he can except lower the Fed funds rate?
Well, at this point, I would say yes. That is their last line of defense from the perspective of that's their main tool. They will trade in the repo market and try to offset some of the moves the market is making. At this point, I would argue those moves have not been incredibly effective.
I agree.
So I do expect, actually, that they will lower the target Fed funds rate on Tuesday. But what I think is that what Bernanke is doing is he's being very patient. And there is a lot of shrill cries out there for them to move more quickly. And certainly, I think if he doesn't move, there will be a large chorus of discontent. So you've got a lot of pressure on him to cut the rate. And at this point, I really do think that they will cut. Whether or not they cut 25 or 50 basis points, we can certainly talk about that. But that is the last tool they will use, that being a target rate cut. And he's been very methodical about doing that. He's waiting until the meeting date, and he's hoping that things will settle out before he makes that cut. He's being very cautious, I would argue.
And that's pretty much a done deal. You think the cut, and it's only a matter of how much. And then the second part of that question, if it's yes, how much?
Yeah, I do think they will cut. You know, is there a probability that they won't cut? Yes. And the only reason I say that is that if Bernanke is trying to make a tremendous statement, for example, that he's this inflation fighter that some have put him up to be, that would be one way to do it. Now, I personally do not think that Bernanke has that kind of ego. He will do what is right for the market, in my opinion. And because of that, I think there will be a cut. If you look at the Fed funds futures market, what you see is about a 60% chance of a 50 basis point cut and a 40% chance of a 25 basis point cut. So certainly the markets think he will cut, and I actually agree with that. If you look at the data, the actual Fed funds rate, and I do want to point out something to your listeners. A lot of folks in the media get this wrong a lot, particularly in the newspaper. The Federal Reserve sets the target Fed funds rate. The actual Fed fund rate is a market-determined rate, bank-to-bank, trading reserves. The actual Fed funds rate, the effective Fed funds rate, has only traded above the target in the last month one day. So the actual Fed's fund rate is below the target. In fact, it closed, the most recent data I have, it was 5.09%, when the target, of course, is 5.25.
Yeah.
So the rate itself is pretty far below the target. If you look at other indicators, and treasuries are probably not a great indicator to look at right now because of the flight to quality has kind of changed the yields in that market.
Yeah, I agree with that, Dave, for sure.
The the Treasury yield is much, much lower than the Fed funds rate. And usually under normal conditions, that deviation between the Fed funds rate and, say, the 3-month Treasury bill will probably be somewhere between 10 and 20 basis points. And right now it's more like 100 basis points.
That's right. That's right.
So that, I think, will pull the rate down, too. The market signals that the Fed is getting is telling them we need to lower the rate. Now, the second part of the question you asked was how much. I still think at this point, I said, you know, a few days back, I thought 50 basis points. And some things have changed since I said that, one being oil prices have spiked, closing over $80 and things like that. I do believe that will have a bearing on the decision. And by that, what I mean is, if they were thinking 50 basis points, they may now be thinking 25 basis points. But I do expect the Fed to cut when they meet.
This is going to conclude the first part of a 3-part conversation about the Federal Reserve. With us for this conversation, Dr. Ken Cyree, professor at the University of Mississippi. He's also on the faculty at the Graduate School of Banking at LSU. And also with us, Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to air the second part of this conversation tomorrow, and you're listening to Floor Radio.